You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I've got magic to let you see just where you were and want to be. On imagination.
Nice show.
Welcome to another episode of Comedia Agogo's podcast, Public Access. This is Jess.
This is Regan.
And this is a new special addition to the Public Access podcast family, a new show we like to call Have You Seen This Man? And in this podcast, we will be watching a movie that one of us or some of us have never seen before. And then we're going to talk about it and hash it out after we view it. And these are going to be pop cultural icons that we just may have missed over the years, or it might be a hidden treasure that our guests and friends bring on board for us to see for the first time. So we are happy campers, Regan, to have who with us on our show today?
Today we have the one and only Brian Ortiz, a filmmaker and friend of ours. He was on Public Access several times, and the first time he was on the Public Access, he brought up a movie, and ever since then, we've been wanting to see it. Brian, tell us, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about this movie we're going to be watching.
Hello, I'm Brian Ortiz. And the movie we'll be watching today is The Wizard of Speed and Time. Ladies and gentlemen, a classic film from 1988. Came out in 1989 after that on VHS. The movie is one of my personal favorites. I was lucky enough to be a kid, and somehow a copy of this ended up at a Blockbuster in Brownsville, Texas, for whatever reason, in the sci-fi section. And so naturally I was attracted to it because I'm a nerd, and I was like, ooh, wizards. And so like naturally I wanted to see it, but it ended up being this fantastic story of a struggling animator who was trying to make it in the Hollywood business. And this movie does an excellent way of just kind of poking fun at the Hollywood system. And for anyone who's in the business, you really get a lot of inside jokes and a lot of really nuanced ideas that are just hilarious. And it's charming and it's sweet. It's fun. It's uplifting. It's motivational. So for me, it's all kinds of wonderful, wonderful stories to tell and really, really cool characters as well.
Awesome. I'm very excited to see it. And
from my perspective, this is going to be very exciting because like Brian said, it was a VHS movie from the late 80s, and I was a VHS kid, and I never saw this movie, not even in the shelf. There have been a lot of movies that, at least I remember the cover, or at least I remember seeing it or hearing of it. I had not, this one just never saw it. So what'll be really fun is the perspective of, like, looking at the cover the way it is this wizard on the cover. So I wonder would that, like, okay, like renting the movie and seeing the title Wizard of Speed and Time.
Yeah,
and
I'm expecting some wizardry.
But it's a movie about movie making. I think that's pretty interesting, and try to like wrap my brain around what kind of mindset that would be and how fast the movie kicks into its gears and demonstrating like what exactly it is. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, so we're about to watch the movie with Brian. We got our popcorn here. We're going to be snacking, eating. And one thing, because I love to eat food, is we usually bring, I try to bring like different snacks and stuff. So for this podcast, we're going to try different toppings on popcorn. Please, if you are listening or if you're watching, tell us what kind of weird toppings that you might put on your popcorn so that we can try them. Today's topping I brought is Lada Zing from Golden Chick. It's a very spicy seasoning that you can get when you go there. Why did one day I decide to bring some home and put it onto my popcorn? Probably because I'm fat. That's just what you do. So I brought it. I'm going to make Brian and Jess try it. And then maybe another time Jess can bring what you were talking about earlier.
Also, not just popcorn, but if you have any of your favorite movie snacks or combinations that you like to do on the DL in the movies, tell us about it and we'd like to try them out and upon your recommendation when we watch movies. So tell us about your favorite movie snacks, and also tell us about movies that you may have not seen that are like really popular that may have just gone over your head. And talked about this before, and we've always teased at it, is that our Larry has never seen the movie Alien from beginning to end in a state like that wasn't from a child's perspective, but like as a grown up. And so how do you go this long without seeing Alien? It's incredible. But sometimes you meet people who never saw Star Wars or Godfather or
Jaws,
the Matrix or something very.
No, everybody's seen the Matrix.
Everyone has seen the Matrix.
Everyone has seen the Matrix.
Please comment if you haven't seen the Matrix so we can scout you out and talk
to
you.
So tell us what movie that is on that iconic level that you haven't seen, or what are some hidden gems that are treasured to you that you think we may have not seen, and we'll take upon a recommendation for later episodes. We'd love to have that happen.
Or maybe just have you on as a guest and watch the movie that we've never seen with you.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe trash it and say, why would you even make us waste our time with this movie?
Get out.
So maybe, who knows? We're re-gripping the format, people.
Did you put the seasoning in this already?
No, that's just regular. We're gonna put some zing on this. We're going to zazz it up in just a bit. So I guess we're going to get started with this movie. Thanks for tuning in. Larry, we miss you as usual.
Miss you.
But Larry doesn't like movies anyway. So.
Exactly. Or hanging out with friends.
Yeah, those are two things Larry doesn't like.
He definitely not like watching movies. Definitely does not like hanging out with friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it's a sci-fi movie, forget about it.
Oh,
Larry's
totally.
Just not going to. Anyway, well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We're going to record this podcast, watch a movie, hang out, eat some popcorn with Golden Chick Lotta Zing on it.
And the Wizard of Speed and Time.
Where'd you learn to do effects in film school?
Not exactly. I was a math language major at UCLA, and I switched to animation and taught myself the rest.
That's like real, right? I'm sure that's actually what he did. He was a math language major.
I'll bet you couldn't even make a real movie with bedroom scenes, chase scenes, crowd scenes. Music.
Bedroom scenes.
You gotta have wide shots, two shots, medium shots, close-ups, ECUs, over shoulders, sing sound. You're just an effects man.
That's brilliant. Isn't that's it? Really, really good.
Michael?
Hi, Mom.
He lives at home?
Yep.
All right.
I paid him all. We're safe now.
I like it.
Today? Yeah, almost. I sold my car.
Is that his real
your
mom?
Wonderful car.
Or is that an actress? Do you know?
That is his mom.
It is.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, his mom is his real mom. Okay, that's awesome.
That's about right.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
No, sir. The studio hires the next man on the roster.
Well, how do I get on the roster?
You have to be in the union.
Well, how do I get in the union?
When you're on the roster.
You mean I can't join unless I'm already a member?
That's correct. Then you need 30 consecutive days camera operation, a complete physical exam, the producer sends a letter, and you pay your fees.
Well, fine. I've done 10 years of camera work.
Then you've worked in violation of seniority. You'll have to start all over as a film coder.
I bet he couldn't even turn out anything we could use.
Oh, man, you got yourself a bet.
Oh, yeah? What do you want to bet? 1,000? 5,000?
Oh, Harvey, don't be a piker.
Is a piker a really, really racist term we don't know?
I believe it is. I believe it is.
You piker.
We got it made.
And this is how movies should be made. No studio hassles. Everything's ready. Just get together and film. I mean, who needs a sound?
A beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It certainly is. And film. Film.
This is the night for special effects. There's magic in the air.
You know, because of last night, I got fired.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad it happened.
Cindy, why?
Because I'd rather work with someone who cares about what he's doing. I've met so many superficial people. It's hard to tell who's real.
He's about to get busy. Oh, Brian! Brian, you cock blocker! Brian, what the hell?
Sorry. We gotta make movies, guys.
You ruined the bedroom scene.
There'll be more, trust me.
All right.
Yeah, wow.
Bunch of turkeys.
Turkey porn.
Holiday with food.
This is good.
Toy kids.
Yeah.
Toy kids.
Interrupt this program for an important message from the...
Yes! No. Beautiful.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's great.
Everything's preemptive.
My friend turned it back.
Ah, fellow constituents. Today's House...
Oh, goddamn it.
I remember when that used to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, we Americans are spending more than ever on entertainment. So I am pleased to announce the new entertainment tax, along with the television tax, movie tax, game tax.
Uh-huh, beautiful.
Now, to make sure we get the best government that money can buy.
Man,
wow,
that's
great.
Yeah.
It's just that we all worked so hard and made something really good.
to prove to the system.
No! Mike, why don't we go for a ride?
My car's gone, my bike's sold.
Even more so, the fact that it's tape. You know, so we live in a digital world now where we're all used to backing things up on a computer. This man's burning his only copies of these shorts.
Right.
Awesome.
There's
awesome,
the logo.
Awesome, awesome.
All right. Well, we just got through watching The Wizard of Speed and Time. I'm going to mess that up every time.
Yes. Put it right here.
Wizard of Speed and Time. And I guess I can start by saying thank you, Brian, for showing us. Brian.
Thank you so much for letting me present this to you guys.
I love it.
I'll just jump in and we'll just start from... Okay, so I think having watched this movie, especially as someone who's... filmmaking is something that we've been doing pretty much, I don't know, we're old enough to our, it's almost most of our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
yes.
we've been
10 plus doing. Years at least.
This yeah. film is absolutely magical. It's wonderful. It is amazing because of all the little things that, that this guy goes through and the technical things he talks about and just the industry things that he talks about. And this is back in the 80s. And so my first thing is as a person who loves film and as a filmmaker, like it's like an unbelievably fun, charming movie, but it also has some like sad parts that you're just like, oh crap, I guess I never thought about filmmakers going through that. But yeah, it was awesome. I really, 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 really liked it.
Yeah, as did I. I really liked it. And that's the thing is film, like here's the thing. I maybe mentioned this before in other podcasts talking about movies, but what I don't like normally movies about making movies.
Right.
I normally don't like it. I kind of feel that it's kind of an easy way out in making a movie because it almost writes itself. So the experiences write themselves. But this is genuinely like one of the best, if not best, movie about filmmaking that I like. I think in the sense of it's how genuine it was.
Right.
And it wasn't the easy way out. Like it had a lot of things going on about it in the sense that when he wrote this script and made out to be what it is, whether it was, you know, broken from pieces of things he was trying to make before or concepts he was trying to make before to fit into a movie, everything just felt super organic. And even though like there was parts like hidden by jokes, like showing stock footage parts or whatever, but he set it up in a script that was clever and fun. And I think just genuine's the word.
Right.
Like it was so genuine.
Well, I think it's because, and this is once again, so this is once again because we are filmmakers, we are people, and this is perfect. This is why we're doing this podcast, I think, and I think this is why especially we invited you, and this is you brought the perfect movie just to appreciate it, because as a filmmaker, you put your heart and your soul
right.
into your productions, and especially when it's something that this is obviously his like dream movie. This is his baby. Like this is he wrote, directed, shot it, acted in it, and did the special effects for. I mean, he did everything in this movie. And you think of all the filmmakers who have done that when they first started, you know, some like Robert Rodriguez sort of thing,
right,
where he's
right.
putting up his own money. And so I just think you know what kind of struggle that he had to
right.
go through to make this and to finally put it out there, and he produced it. So you're almost, as a filmmaker, doing it with him,
right?
I think,
yeah.
And I think it's weird because it would be interesting to have a non-filmmaker watch this movie to see if I doubt it'd have that same effect, but only in the same fact that if you watch a movie like Rudy or Major League,
right.
a baseball movie or
right.
a football
right.
movie with a football player, they're gonna be like, "Oh, dude, that's exactly
right.
what it's like."
Right.
They spoke to me, so like we are the perfect audience for this
right,
movie,
right,
Brian.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like that's what it comes down to is we're the perfect audience because we are just like, yes, this is everything about this movie was because I didn't, like I said, didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just going to be a demo reel for him in the silliest sense, but it had so much like realness to it, even though it was silly, it was
right.
kooky.
Right, right.
It had a ton of realness. It had a ton of heart. It showed the struggle, I think. And I think that was really, really awesome as it showed that struggle of what it takes to freaking make a film.
Yeah. And even on a microscopic level, and filmmakers of all budgets could relate to everything in this movie.
Yes.
Because this guy, in this particular movie, it's a man who has the experience, who has all that years of being able to do it, like the character.
Yep.
And then he's making a thing of his own, and he's stepping into the big leagues. Probably he's something that he's been a part of in the background or never been directly involved in until now. And then, you know, it's all that struggles, all the permits and then the bureaucracy and all that good stuff. But I think anyone making art in general, whether it be like music making or filmmaking, I think could appreciate that, like, similar struggles. Or I get the equivalent of that, you know, like maybe if it was a band or something, like musicians going, oh, well, there's an equivalent to that in playing music and it applies to it. And then other thing really was cool is that, like, the whole movie is them making this final movie and having it play off at the end. That was, I think, the really cool thing, because and when other movies do that, usually the movie at the end is not genuinely the final product of what they were doing.
Right.
But this was everything that they were doing. The entire movie paid off in the end. And it was the way it did it. Like, you didn't know what he was doing. Like, there's a scene where he goes and he rents all this gear equipment. He's like, why does he need all those tripods? And why does he need all this stuff? And you're thinking, what?
That's like, it's overkill. A single camera and that just one camera. Yeah. And you're like, where'd all that stuff go?
Yeah. And why'd you do that? And then they show it, and it's because he used them as props or as characters, actually, in his animation and in his actual presentation. And it's like, oh, okay. Yes. And the whole movie was like that. Like, why would you have that? Oh, okay. This is why you do that. You know?
Yeah. So. It had so much, like you said, this was like a baby. Like, this was such a work of, like, love, and it had so much heart, even though it was ridiculous and silly. That's what was kind of weird about it, is that it had a ton of heart, and I was making little notes throughout, and the beginning he says, and I guess, once again, we're the perfect audience, but the idea, he says the line, if only we could make movies with the speed of thought, all the movies that could have been. And thinking, I'm sure we've all, three of us here at the table, have had those ideas of, man, I wish I could make this movie, or I wish I could make this. Yep. And how amazing that would be if we could do that. Like, all the movies that we could have made if we just could make it with the speed of our thought. That it's just, like, hit so much in my heart. I was like, that's amazing. Yes.
It's amazing because he's saying the things that I think. And, like, it's no movie in my entire life has ever worded exactly what's in my head on screen in such a beautiful fashion. And filmmaking is personal. Like, we all know it. Filmmaking is extraordinarily personal. And this movie combines that element of, this is pure personal, with that standard of storytelling, and it's fused all across the board between comedy and effects. You know what I'm saying? Taking itself serious, taking itself lightly, inceptioning itself, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. By making movies within movies within movies. I mean, there's so much to think about, and that's so hard to do. And like you said, in a way that is genuine and feels fun and not forced upon an audience. Like, he's making a movie.
It is a silly movie. Like, it is a, like, it's Benny Hill-esque of, like, you know, just crazy scenes and stuff. But like you said, it's balanced with, and the only reason that it's so balanced is because I think he had complete control over this film.
Right, exactly.
To where he was like, no, I'm going to really put the realism and the truth and the honesty in it of what I had to deal with in this industry, because this is so personal. It's such a personal movie.
And it shows his mastery of film technology, of storytelling, of even acting, you know, like, I think, he was a good actor.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great presence.
Right. He balances, even the people that may or may not have been actors, like, you know, like his friend or the music man, you know, like, but even those guys brought a level of genuineness to it, which is always hard to do. You know what I'm saying? I love watching Brian. I even love watching, you know, Yin Yang Pizza. What's his name? Steve. Yeah. Like, you know, Steve just came in, he did his thing, and it felt like, you got your best friend from across the street. Let's. I need you to come be in this movie. Let's do it.
Because we've all done that. When you make, you're like, we need to get Brant again, our friend.
Yeah.
But Brant's a real actor, though, so.
But it's like, it's great, you know, exactly, incorporating your mom, incorporating your brother, you know what I'm saying? Good Lord. And
using everything at his disposal to make, again, his vision, execute the vision, and do what he had to do to make it work. And like you mentioned when we're watching the movie, was that what I really liked is that even though it has the struggles of filmmaking throughout the entire process of him making the film, filmmaking was something you can tell he loved, the character loved, and him as a person, like, he loved it. Every shot, every time, every it's raining, it's storming, the power goes out, and you never missed a beat of when he was actually just putting together his visuals to film. And it's funny because it's when it does the movies playing out, it's pure chaos. It's
right.
Absolute chaos. The dialogue's rapid fire and the action is sped up in a like you said, like a Benny Hill, Monty Python kind of inspired thing. And when you see it play out, again, it illustrates that whole thing. It's all worth it.
Right.
When the chaos is over and the struggles, when it's over and he plays it, it's worth it. And it was beautiful to have also that notion that, you know, in the ending of the movie, he's going to show his film on TV and it gets interrupted so no one sees it.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Just the few people that did eventually get to see it.
That's
what makes it worth the while for every filmmaker. It's like if somebody, like just a little bit audience enjoys it, when you get to see that firsthand, it's magical. It really is.
I made that note. I was like, one of the most terrifying things is you can do everything right. You can make your film, but if no one sees it, like, that's the ultimate, like, pain. That's the pain. Yeah, right? Yeah. And so that was at the very end. I'm like, oh, God, no. No, please, after all of this. But, of course, people watch it and stuff. But yeah, it's like, you still, at the end of the day, like, you want some, even if it's just a few people, to see what you've done. I guess that's all artists. That's right. Every musician, poet, painter, any sort of artist. It's you want that appreciation of all that hard work and stuff. So I was like,
I love the movie because it balances also on the positive and in the negative. And what I mean by that is when he's positive, he's so wonderfully positive, which gives this movie a beautiful feeling. Because most of the time, movies nowadays are brought on like the heavy drama, the heavy problems. But this is, and that does it here. But he also has such a light, strong, positive attitude, no matter what, which is inspiring. But it also, when it does the problems, when he says those speeches, when he's unraveling the film, when he's burning his short films, the moments are so real and spoken so well that it just speaks to the truth. Like, I don't know how many times I've just wanted to delete my entire hard drive of stuff and be like, I'm done. This stupid industry is killing me. I'm finished. And I just want to burn it like he does. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a very real positive and negative balance, which is very difficult.
Did get a little dark at times too. He gets a little upset. He gets a little angry.
Right.
I was hoping for some, like, just him killing. I mean, the total dark humor in me was like, you just kill that dude in a really cool FX, like special effects way. And that'd be awesome. But he keeps it lighthearted.
Right. But it's a great moment. What you talking about when he throws him in the pool? Dude, he's genuine anger. Because up until then, it's been like, I'm frustrated, I'm sad, but this is straight up, just chuck him in the pool and be like done and angry.
Right. So the question, I think, and I could be wrong, but we'll have to kind of maybe go back and find out, or one of our listeners might point out. So the question that actually brought up maybe this particular movie was, what childhood item shaped you into the person you are today? And I think that was the movie. Yeah. It was this thing. So that perfectly encapsulates, after seeing it, and then you saying that, and then looking at the question, I'm like, oh, that to me makes perfect sense.
Being this kid who's 9, 10, 11, 12,
treat.
And just to find this VHS cover is sitting on the shelf at Blockbuster, and it's just, I'm, as a kid, I'm fascinated, and it's a wizard. And I actually thought it was a fantasy film. Like, cool, there's a wizard and magic. And lo and behold, I see this fantastical, bright, positive, musical, action sequences, comedy, you know, and it was like nothing I had ever seen before. It had mixtures of airplane type style humor, yet at the same time, it had effects like Star Wars style, it had cartoon animation. It opened up my mind and my brain to something that I had never, ever seen before. And to this day, I still have never seen anything come close to this level of ingenuity and silliness and strength and personal strength and just hard work, because you know that he did it. And again, it was beautiful. And it's always made me sad that it's never had a larger, a larger following or a larger understanding or knowing, because to me as a filmmaker, this should be shown to everybody.
Yeah,
because
that's
the jokes in here still make sense. Even though it's 1988, the red tape, all the producers, executive producers messing with you.
The fact that the producer's son has never made a film, but he gets to make films. Like, that's brilliant.
And he's struggling to even make a damn movie, and he's like, they're paying me a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff, you know. It's just real. It doesn't matter how old we get or what era it is. Some problems and some issues are still the same and are always going to be the same. And this movie has captured that in both jokes and in seriousness and in fun.
Right.
It's just nothing like it to me that I've ever seen.
Yeah. So similarities, though, this is interesting. So I looked it up. So Pee-wee's Big Adventure came out in 85, right? Okay. This guy has been working on this movie because it's concepts from 77 and up. So there's no telling how long he worked on it. Right. But the similarities to me is that's what makes it weird that this movie wouldn't be more successful in that sense. Is that because if you like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and it's not that this movie's like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, like as a whole, it's not. It's well, it's totally different. The similarities kind of end at the fact that he has this really cool bike and that his house is kind of a mousetrap kind of thing. And then the comparisons kind of stop there.
Right.
But at the same time, it has this very fun, quirky spirit. And I wouldn't be I'm kind of surprised that this kind of movie wouldn't piggyback off the popularity of a Pee-wee's Big Adventure slash Playhouse because at his rise around that era of being big.
In the end, that's the whole beauty, sadness, joy of it all is there's so many of those type of movies out there.
Yeah.
That people are like, dude, how come no one has ever seen this movie?
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you, I've never heard of that movie. And then you watch it and you're like, oh my God, that movie's amazing. And I think maybe that's the whole point of this podcast and this show is to see movies. They're like, yeah, man, that was freaking amazing. That's brilliant. And it just goes to the question of how many Wizards of Time and
Time.
I'll never get it right. Wizards of Speed and Times are out there.
Right.
And also particularly, like I said, especially for if you're interested, like if you, like for us filmmakers, like that's amazing. If there's a movie about, you know, even it's just a cop drama, but that's a real cop drama that may not be Hollywood, but may be true to what it's like to be a cop. That if a cop was like, no, you need to watch this movie.
Right.
And then they watch it like, oh my God, that's really what it's like to be a cop, unlike the freaking Hollywood movies that they could put out there.
Yep.
And so, I don't know. That's the thing is that the idea that no one's seen it, that's kind of the point is that, you know, there's so many people out there putting their heart and soul and making these babies, these children of theirs, of these works of love that, you know, who knows how many people are going to see them. And thanks to people like Brian and, you know.
Yeah.
That find it and then, you know.
Thanks to whatever odd distribution. Right, they exactly. Have that with, too. With
whoever,
video.
Whoever made that.
Right.
And I always question it too because there's no major studios attached to this thing. So clearly it was a strong indie film, Saturn Award winners, I think. And all I know is I was telling you earlier that it came out on VHS and somehow, luckily, also came out on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Somehow, right? But then somehow. Stopped right there, and I've only got bootlegs of this you know, DVD.
But that is crazy because I said at the beginning of the show, like I'm a VHS kid. We all are. Yep. Like that's not that, you know, and I see all these movies. There's so many, and there's movies I still see posters of, and I go, oh, I remember seeing that. At least seeing it at the store and never seeing it.
I worked at a video store in the late 90s.
And it's just something
that had a crazy library of amazing, obscure VHS movies.
And this is one of these ones that I never saw in the rotation in their stores.
I always ask someone, you know, it's in the time of our friendship, I'll ask if someone has seen it, or I'll ask a new person, then ask if they've seen it. That way I can gauge whether they're. Good enough friends or not, you know what I'm saying? But it's just the best way to find out. You can have an instant connection with someone who's like seen this.
Absolutely.
And so I always try to get this out to people because, you know, the more people know about it, the better it is for the world. And maybe one day someone will know Mike Jetlove and be like, there's this guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's and now after having watched it, there's so many questions I would love to ask him.
Oh, God, yes.
Of like, so when he's making this movie, the idea of making movies outside of Hollywood probably isn't a thing. Like,
right.
Like there, that's why he's talking about the permits and having to shoot there and having to do everything there in LA because back in the day, that was it. Like, and so it'd be, you know, and now these days, I mean, with an iPhone and a good sound recording device and a decent lighting, you can make an okay film, and the idea of back then what you needed and what you had to do, especially now with special effects, like I can't imagine how much Just Snapchat filters always freak me out about the technology. Like, the technology that goes into facial recognition for Snapchat filters on every freaking person's phone these days. I can't imagine what a dude like him would think about that. Like, just the idea.
Oh, that would be
easy special effects.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you can. He was very. I think he was very revolutionary in a lot of different stuff, taking step forwards. Like, up until he still has a webpage.
He does, okay.
You can go to wizworld.com, wizworld.com. It's still the Mike Jetlove page. I don't think it's been very active since like 2003, technically.
Right.
But like for the longest time, and again, I wish I'd paid attention to this when I was younger, you can still purchase a couple of things from the site, I think.
Oh, wow.
One of the things they used to sell, for instance, was the soundtrack. But sadly, they've stopped producing that, and now it's one of the single hardest. They sell the paper inline, the paper inside the tray, the back tray, for like $40
just on
just the paper for the back tray eBay. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
I always suggest to everyone, hey, if you want to see the movie, there are copies available on eBay. They're always going from like $10 to $50, depending when you get one and how good it is. But I mean, yeah, wizworld.net, wizworld.com, Mike Jetlove. Please, if he's out there, if he's listening to this,
all right,
contact him.
I've always dreamed of meeting this man, and like you know, everyone has that inspiration. I think I would just cry, puke, and then faint in front of him because I don't think I know what to say.
I can only imagine.
One man that is like, you know, for a lot of people, and it is for a lot of people, it's like George Lucas or you know Spielberg and so and so. But I have to admit, at the end of the day, the man that continually pops up in my life is Mike Jetlove. And all he did was this one piece, and yet it still holds. It still makes me laugh like loudly. And it's still beautiful. Like it's a timeless piece of art at this point because that style of animation is barely even used anymore nowadays. Yeah. Aside from the massive awesome stop motion that we get with like James and the Giant Peach and Norman and stuff like that. But I mean that kind of indie stop motion and animation and syncopation and all kinds of stuff. It itself has become a timeless artistic piece that I just think the world needs to see more often because we don't get it much anymore these
days. Right, yeah, I absolutely agree.
So I don't know where he is or what he's doing, and there's not a lot of information about him online, at least in my circle and capabilities. But if anybody can find him, shit, you let me know, please. I will visit this man myself and just be like,
he lives in Bernie, Texas. up I-10.
Oh, my God.
Burbank. He lives in Burbank. California, yeah.
He still lives in his mom's house.
Yeah, seriously, he probably lives in Burbank, California, just chilling out, lives in his mom's house, and that's fine. And that room, that room of his stuff everywhere, that's probably his real room, and it's amazing.
It's the most beautiful room ever.
It is. It really is. Okay, so on Facebook, we actually asked, what we want to get in the habit of doing with this format of podcast is asking the simple question, have you seen this movie? And if you've seen the movie, let us know what you think about it. Give us your capsule review. We'd love to hear what you think of this thing, of the movie that we're going to watch. And if you have not, tell us what you think the movie is about. Without Googling or looking at it, just give us a synopsis based on purely picture and title alone. We asked that, and Carlos Castro said, I can only guess this movie is about a mediocre wizard who can only operate in the third dimension. You're wrong, because he can operate in multiple dimensions, and he can operate in many ways, and he was far from a mediocre wizard, but that is very fun. Travis K., I have not seen it yet, but as a public access fanboy, I know who is a huge fan of the movie, and if you have a guess who that may be, and it is true, you are right, Travis, it is our friend, Brian Ortiz. Rachel Nordberg, she says, The Wizard of Speed and Time, based upon the book Push by Sapphire, is about a young girl's trials and tribulations in the inner city, where she learns self-acceptance from the wizard and his time-bending abilities. Voted best in show at the Cannes Film Festival, is a timeless classic and shrouded in green satin and gold glitter. 4 out of 5 stars.
Close. I mean, almost nailed it. Really.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
And Brian, one of our friends actually did see this movie.
What?
Yes.
Who saw this movie?
John Byrd, a.k.a. Captain Amazing. The musician, who's a really cool guy, who fancies himself wizard as his own, says, "Man, I love that thing." They would show a shorter version between features on cable channels, as I recall, but the whole thing is awesome.
I can totally see him.
John Byrd, Captain Amazing.
He seems like one of the people that would actually have seen it.
Please find me. If we're not friends, if we are, I'm sorry. If we're not, I need you to find me immediately.
I will link you. John Byrd, We performed with him. Yeah. We did it was one of our Blind Tiger shows, and he played music, and he is from the future. Captain Amazing is from the future, so heavily influenced, I'm sure, by the Wizard of Speed and Time.
John, if you're out there, I want you to find me. We're going to have a drink. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Wizard of Speed and Time, John. I miss you. I love you. We have to go through this and talk about it, man.
Yeah. This has been badass. I mean, just beyond just the movie itself, but I'm really looking forward to other installments of this particular
movie. Yeah, this was fantastic. I think this is the perfect first episode of this podcast in particular, because once again, this is a film that you've talked about for years, and that me personally, I've been like, I really want to get together and hang out and see this movie.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm like, I really want to get together and hang out and see this movie. And finally, we have a reason to do it. And now we can record it for all everyone to know that we have seen it.
Share it to the world.
Get the word out.
Right.
On the Wizard of Speed and Time.
Yeah. So, like other installments of public access podcasts, we want everyone to know that not only do we watch new movies here on this new installment, but we also want to stress that we are still an educational program. And at the end of every show, at the end of every edition of Public Access, we like to ask, what have you come to know? And in particular, what did you come to know specifically from experiencing The Wizard of Speed and Time? For us, me and Regan, the first time. For Brian, one of many extra times, countless times, I'm sure.
Countless.
And Regan, what did you come to know?
After watching The Wizard of Speed and Time, I've come to know that, I mean, like I said, when a film speaks to you, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling, and it's that one thing of like, I can only imagine how awesome it would be to have him here so that he can hear. And it sounds weird and maybe sort of, I don't know, narcissistic, but like to have him hear us talk about this movie the way we are. Because as a filmmaker or even as a musician, can you imagine making an album 30 years ago and some people just now listen to it and are like, this song or this album is unreal and speaks to me in a way that a lot of films haven't. And then having someone write you a letter and go like, hey, I just listened to this the first time in 30 years. So I came to know that getting it out there, no matter what, there is that chance that years later, something that you've done that may not be appreciated right now, luckily because of art and even technology in ways that it's been able to last years from now, someone can appreciate that. And that makes me happy about the world that we live in.
I love it.
That was great.
Yeah. What I came to know is that environmentalism had to have some kind of origin. I know, like, in the 80s, it had to. But this, I gotta say, is probably the first example of seeing it in a movie, like, really loud without being a thing. Like, I don't remember, like, recycling and being green and in any of these concepts until the 90s, until this movie has it and it's just in there. Every once in a while, it has the roots of that. So to me, what I've come to know is that the roots of keeping a green environment, being green, it makes me want to say it's older than what I thought it was. And so for me, I would like to look at what are the roots of that movement and how does it correlate with the timing of this movie of when it came out? Is everything. It wasn't just picking up the trash and all the recycling bicycle. Film cans, the bicycle. Like, okay, he didn't ride the car. He was still driving around on this suitcase, you know. And it was
electric charged suitcase.
Yes, exactly. And it was crazy that these concepts were in this movie well ahead of its time. And again, is it coincidental that his costume was green and that he was very proud of his jacket being green? Or does that tie into his viewpoints of recycling? Is that even a thing? Or was going green a thing? Was that a coincidence or was that something that he actually like is a part of his character?
If you're living in California, in LA, that was like, I mean, that's smog, that's pollution, that's like one of the places where it's going to get its worst. And so those kind of areas are the ones that act upon it even more so. So he's around there. I don't
know. So that's what I came to know. Being green goes back further than I thought.
Brian, after watching this for who knows how many times, this is a film that you brought to us that you've seen many times. I'm sure you've learned a ton of it from watching it way, way back. What is something that you've come to know?
It's the same thing that I've known from this movie from the moment I saw it. It's that, especially when it comes to filmmaking and it comes to your art, it's going to get tough. It's never going to get easy for a lot of people, and some it will and some it won't. But no matter what, no matter who gets in your way and who tries to stop you, at the end of the day, you need to successfully, skillfully, and professionally put out your art, and you need to make your dreams come true on some level, good or bad.
Yeah.
And no matter what stops you or who's in your way, you have to do it. And what I like about his message is you have to do it still with the most positive, kind attitude as possible, because the idea that we are also surrounded in this business by a lot of snakes and weasels and jerks and rats, sometimes you really just need to be positive and surround yourself with a positive team to make your dream come true, just so at least a couple of people can see it and you can feel successful and you can feel happy. So never give up, no matter who gets in your way or how bad it gets. Always push through.
I just think it's so funny that just the way we've been talking about the movie, it's now thinking of someone listening to this and like this is such a like a very, you know, philosophical, almost like inspiring, motivational movie. But then you watch it and you're like, it's really kooky. Like, it's really a wacky movie, people listening to this. Yeah. It is a wacky,
from the get-go,
silly
too.
Movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kookiness and silliness going on, but that's what I think is so awesome about it. Is that at the very end, it's still inspirational and motivational and amazing.
It is. It is.
So, Brian, thanks for joining us
on
another edition, edition of Public Access, breaking the bottle over the boat that is our show edition of Public Access. Have you seen this movie? Is there any links or projects or anything else you got going on that you want to pop out right now and tell our kind listeners about?
Absolutely. There's my director's page on Facebook, Brian Ortiz, director, where I am currently releasing the... I did a photo shoot, a cosplay photo shoot with the amazing cosplayer Rachel, my friend Rachel. Mm-hmm. I'll link it her stuff.
Awesome.
She did a New 52 Supergirl cosplay.
Yes, I think I've seen a couple.
And we've been getting to release those photos, and they've been fantastic, and she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're finishing up shooting principal photography on Damsel, a short film by Scott Langford, and we are part of, or I am part of the team that's involved with it. So
yes.
That's coming out soon. So we're on, we have Damsel, the Facebook page, and again on my director's page. We're doing updates. We got a little bit more photography, then we go into editing. And so we'll make announcements once it's done, and we'll do progress reports and all kinds
of
stuff.
All the fun stuff that we saw in The Wizard of
Time. In The Wizard of Speed and Time.
Right, of course.
That's where I'm updating everything right now and having a good time seeing where the future takes me next.
Heck yeah. Jess, do we have anything going on?
Well, hey, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. As per usual, we hope you enjoy our new addition to the Public Access family. Have you seen this movie? We will also have future episodes of classic Public Access, the classic format. We're hoping for Larry to come back on to the show and rock on with us, or rock with him at home, or whatever it takes to get him back into the podcast chair, and just keeping track with everything we're doing at Comedia Agogo on Twitter, Facebook. My personal Instagram is at my neighbor Jess. There is also a new video. By the time you see this, it'll already be out. A new video installment of I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah.
And I want to get into the habit of doing, at the very minimal, monthly video editions of my segment where I talk about movies and video games and snacks, but just visualize. It'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully I'll have the time and energy and hopefully the enthusiasm for listeners, y'all guys, if y'all enjoy it, to make more of these videos. It's going to be great. For sure, coming soon, I'll be doing a full-blown geek out on Resident Evil 7, ooh, which will be cool. And in the future, in March, I will be doing a Nintendo Switch video that'll break down all the whole process, the whole thought, right, what I thought about it, because now it's just something to add on to the public access family of things to do and the Comedia Go-Go things to do. And one cool event to mark into your calendar, it is April 22nd. It is the Scary Hairy Facial Hair Competition. Yeah. Our friends at the Alamo Beard Club are throwing an awesome fundraiser facial hair competition. All proceeds will go to Larry Garza to help him as he battles out his cancer issues. And that is amazing, yes, that our friends, that's our brothers, great, in hairy, that's arms, fantastic, came together and put this together. And it's awesome that they did that. And we're glad to help out in any way we can with it.
Can I say this? Like, this is, you know, years ago, I don't know how long we've been doing podcasting now. Years ago, we started doing this, and I personally wasn't, I wasn't on, I was like, podcasting.
When yeah, come that? March, it'll be 5 years.
That's terrifying. Yeah. But it's great because it just goes back to that whole thing of, like, the more you do, the more you get to do. And after we started doing a couple of these podcasts, I realized the beauty of it wasn't just kind of the podcast. It wasn't, you know, having something new for us to put out there or just having a good time. It was getting to know people,
mm-hmm,
making connections, making friends, and growing in the city that we love and that we're a part of with artists, with different people. And so this is amazing that, one, we have you, Brian, who we just didn't know ever until we had you on our podcast.
Right.
And now you are such a good friend, and this is an amazing culmination of all of that. And then also to have the Alamo Beard Club, who we just didn't know these guys. We had them on as guests, and we created a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Larry has hosted their shows before multiple times.
Yeah.
And so for that, it's because we are podcasting, so it's pretty amazing. It's
just, yes, absolutely beautiful. Pretty amazing. That's amazing. I love it. So, Brian, once again, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you
on board.
Thank you so much.
And we will come back with future episodes of Public Access. Stay tuned. Keep on listening to us at oneofus.net. I am Jess.
I am Regan. And the Wizard of Speed and Time. We synced it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We synced it. Okay, so we're audio. Let me think about what it is. So, it'd be hello, welcome to another edition of Gaming Heroes Podcast. Spoiler Access, I'm Jess, Regan. We got Brian, and this is our first edition of Have You Seen This Movie? And this movie, this time, Brian, is what? The Wizard of Speed and Time.
Give us a Twitter, give us a 140 character synopsis.
And
I'll try this. I should.
And we always ask the guests what we came to know, but we want to do that in this one. Yeah. So we just basically just say, like, after like the movie that we're watching, because I'd also say what the podcast is very quickly as well. And
go over what the hell the podcast is.
And then in this case, Brian, what movie are we watching today? Or what movie did we watch today?
Was The Wizard of Speed and Time.
You know, 1988, just a little bit, blah, 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 blah. And then basically, yeah, so tune in. Just right after that, really, just tune in to our new podcast where we gush over it and talk about all blah, 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 and then that's pretty much it.
All right, we'll play
it. Just going to play around with it.
All right.
So, because I'm already rolling over there. Oh, what? Hang on.
Can you actually, like, control, like, aperture, like
all everything? Everything's on this
thing. Wow.
Yeah, all of it's on there
on a mom camera. See,
on a mom camera, the manual focus is on though. Oh. Say, but we don't want that.
That's super impressive.
Okay, so well, before I get too wrapped up in that.
You have to push it twice? Is it like
boop? Yeah.
Camera operations in progress. Wow.
It's letting you know that you're messing with the camera. Yeah.
That songs are catchy as hell, too.
Yeah.
It is. What was it? The Speed and Time, stepping up.
Okay, so now we're ready.
I will help you find your dreams.
It is focused dreams, on us. I would actually hope to think so. And we're 3, 2. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. This is Jess.
This is Regan.
And this is a special new addition to the Public Access podcast family, an addition we like to call Have You Seen This Movie? And it is a new podcast to where one of us, or maybe some of us, haven't seen a particular movie, and our guest shows it to us, and we get to see it with fresh eyes and talk about that fresh experience that we have of watching a brand new movie, even though it's an older film. And we call this experience, Have You Seen This Movie? For now, that's the title we're going for now. And today, we have our guest, Brian Ortiz, with us today, fellow filmmaker. And Brian, what movie are we going to see today?
The 1988 classic, The Wizard of Speed and Time.
Wizard of Speed and Time.
Tell us a little bit about the film. Quick synopsis. What's it about?
The Wizard of Speed and Time is about a filmmaker in Hollywood who deals with the trials and tribulations of making his passion project come to life against all odds.
And let me say this. We have seen the movie. We've done seen it. And it is indeed magical. And we gush over it. And it is a great listen for you guys. If you love movies, I really think you're going to enjoy this podcast.
If you love movies, if you love movie making, filmmaking, this is an amazing movie to find it, watch it, listen to the podcast. You'll hear us gushing all over it. So it's an amazing movie. It's amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing. So tune in to oneofus.net where we actually have the podcast up. Have you seen this movie? And learn all about The Wizard of Speed and Time.
I'm stop motioning myself. I'm stop motioning myself. Oh, my phone moved. Wizard.